Are you moving to Tucson or not? I don't understand. This was your big plan.
That has been my big plan. You know, I was a little worried about this Project Blue and the water usage with the data center going up. I've been following it.
Wait, what's Project Blue? Oh, is that the water and the data center?
Yes, the water and the data center. So I kind of want to see how that pans out and if all the hype or the controversy is true. You know, I don't want to move. What?
You're a smart woman. I mean, I know you don't believe that, but believe me, you really are.
I know. I think I kind of believe that.
When you do deep dives on stuff, you do appropriately deep dives. You have a scientific mind. You
I do.
Check the
yes.
facts.
Mm-hmm.
This would be my suggestion to you. Don't just do a superfluous. Is that a word?
Superfluous.
No, I said superfluous, though. That's a whole different thing.
Oh, no. Well, we can, you know.
Don't do a shallow research on this. Go do a deep dive and see what's really going on with the data centers in Tucson and what the water supply there is like. And then I think you should be able to trust your findings.
I think so. I guess they're voting or something today. There's been a lot of hoopla, you know, on both sides. You never know what to believe. My only question, and it's like a big one, and it's not the only one, but it's the one I'll pose to you right now, is that when we know that these data centers are not only energy hogs, but water hogs,
right?
Why would you choose to build it in a desert?
I don't know.
I mean, that's just my
It's probably cheaper for them. It's all
it
money.
It must be cheaper. Yeah, it has to be money. And one of the articles I read about a week ago or so said that, like, Arizona's so neutral in terms of, like, natural disasters. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no, like, hurricane risk. There's no, well, there are wildfire risks, but not probably where they're going to build this thing.
It's not too bad. It's limited to different areas. And compared to Canada and California and the Northwest, it's mm-hmm. trivial. So if you can look at a map of the United States and you can overlay extreme weather events,
uh-huh.
the whole country is pockmarked except for Arizona. And, like, there mm-hmm. are just a couple of notes, like, oh, windstorms.
Right.
It's like, okay, so you're telling me the worst we get is we get a little bit of wind.
Yeah, well, the haboobs can be pretty intense.
Yeah,
but they're kind of cool coming, like, when they come.
Compared to a hurricane or tornado,
oh, no.
Nothing.
No, they're nothing. No, it's
I've been through many of them already.
Mm-hmm.
And my house has survived, I don't know, probably dozens upon dozens of them, and it's not particularly well built. So if my house can survive and has survived, I'm not that worried about it.
Agree 100%. So I think it's kind of, I don't know, so, geologically neutral or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
That as well. Yeah. As far as the water and data centers go, Catherine, you really should just buy an RV and then you can drive wherever the water is.
That's probably the best idea you've had today.
But for the love of God, don't buy a new one. They are built so badly now. They have gotten worse.
Really?
I follow this guy on TikTok, AZ RV expert. This guy is great. He just tells it like it is. All he does is fix RV. So he kind of knows what he's talking about. For the past, I think 15 years, all of the top tier Class A, and by class, that's literally a class, the Class A trailers, the big ones, the big expensive ones that look like buses.
Right.
They have membrane roofs. The roof is flexible.
Ooh.
And they all come off. They all fail. Every single one of them.
Oh, they don't come off because you want them to. They come off because.
No. They come off because they're really bad.
Oh, hell no.
So you spend $500,000 on one of these stupid things and they fail. And you know what happens when you lose your roof is water comes in and destroys the rest of your house.
Ah, that would be problematic.
And the funniest thing was for a short time, Winnebago made those Class A trailers back in the 90s.
Right.
And it was a really fancy one because it had rear steering. So it had regular steering in the front, but then it also had a special axle in the back so it could steer as well, which is good because it's something that big. The more steering control you have, the better because, you know, it's like driving a shipping container down the road.
Right.
Well, some guy had a problem with his. This is from 1995, Winnebago. So he called up Winnebago and Winnebago's like, huh?
What?
And the guy explains, like, no, we never made that. Like, Winnebago literally forgot that they made a whole range of RVs.
Unbelievable.
So you can't trust the big company. So if you want an RV, buy a used one. Because they all, like, the first year of RV ownership,
mm-hmm.
everything breaks. So the first year is spent fixing stuff. So after the first year, most of the stuff has been fixed and their value is cratered.
It's kind of like one of those things, isn't it? Like you drive it off the lot and it loses value.
Yeah. Except it's like tenfold for the RV.
Right. I don't know how interested I am living on wheels. And like the older I get, like to kind of forage and plug shit in and do all the things you got to do to survive when you're parking your shit somewhere.
I get that, but I think I would like
a little space, you know, with water.
If you think of it this way, like if you buy you don't have to buy a big RV. You can get like a 25 or 30 foot RV, probably a class C.
Okay.
Because they're cheaper. And then you tow a car.
Oh, okay.
So then you can basically, you're just driving the big RV from one campsite to another campsite, mostly on the highway. So it's not really a big deal. It's a lot easier, obviously, to drive that on the highway than trying to drive down these little streets that we have in Phoenix.
Right. Yeah, windy. Yeah.
And then you just drive the regular car around, and then you can do that pretty inexpensively. And then you can be in whatever area of the country you want to be in for whatever period of time.
That sounds pretty good. Because like the summer here is starting to get to me. It has been hot. I mean, it wasn't bad up until like this week. I really was not.
It was been a good summer up so far.
I really was not, you know, opposed to it. But last evening, my poor AC just ran and ran. Then it would go off and I'd time it. And 3 minutes later, 5 minutes later, come back on.
Yep, that's how it goes. You know, it's all right. Actually, it's not most of it, but, you know, a lot of the power comes from the AC is when it kicks on because it has to spin up that motor, and that's bad for the motor, and it's bad for the electricity uses. That's a big spike in electricity and a hard grind on the motor.
Mm, damn.
So if it's running, it's actually okay. It's like you don't want it to come on and go on and off a lot. You want it to come on and stay on.
Yes. Yeah, it just was a never-ending cycle last night. And it'd be like 3 minutes later, 8 minutes later. And then it finally got to like, it was spacing out to like 20 minutes. And then
you need a new hobby because timing your AC intervals is not a good use of time.
I know. What has this come to? I mean, this is me in this house.
That's you.
I'm losing my flipping mind.
Read a book.
I was reading Wicked, and I just I misplaced it somewhere. Oh, but yeah, I'm doing all kinds of stuff here, and I'm working on little projects for our project in October, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Blah, blah. No one
cares. Okay, so anyway, so what else are we going to talk about? Speaking of data centers, do you have anything to update on data? You were talking earlier about something with Meta.
Oh, God, do you want to hear about Meta?
I do.
Oh, my God. I could not believe. The problem with this is to really understand it, well, not really understand it, but to understand it to the degree that I understand it, I'm going to need to explain some really technical shit to you.
Can you do it fast?
No.
Okay, because I numb out, but go ahead. Okay. My eyes roll a bit. Go ahead.
All right. Meta, which is Facebook. We're going to say Facebook, but it's Meta. The larger corporation is Meta.
Okay.
Facebook got caught torrenting a bunch of porn.
Nice.
Yeah, so to understand this, why they did it, let's back up, and there's this thing called BitTorrent. Let's do an analogy for poor old little Catherine.
Please.
Catherine, imagine you have a big-ass tree in your backyard.
I do.
Okay. Can you move that on your own?
No.
Of course not. I mean, it's a Herculean effort, and even if you did try to move it on your own, the likelihood is that you would probably...
kill it.
Yeah, probably destroy it in the process, right? So imagine you have a magic program.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call this program BitTorrent because that's what it's called. The BitTorrent program will look at that tree, and it will kind of slice it up into these meta pieces up for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like 10-pound chunks that you could move individually and just...
like little pixels?
Exactly. It's like turning it into a Lego tree.
Ah,
but it's not really slicing it up. It's just doing it in a meta way.
Okay.
And then you move it one chunk at a time to the front yard. You reassemble it. It doesn't matter which order you do it in because it keeps track of everything. It chunks it up and it keeps track of it. And if while you're moving one of these chunks, it gets damaged, it says, uh-oh, go back and get a replacement chunk because it checks the chunks as it goes.
Got it. Okay.
It's great. Okay, so at the end of the day, you have the tree move from the backyard to the front yard.
Okay.
Except because this is actually the digital space, you've made a copy of it. So it's like... your backyard and your front yard are, think of them as two different computers.
And they both have
one is your work computer and one is your home computer, and you just have to, you know, get it back and forth from one to the other. So now you have two copies. So that's BitTorrenting, being able to chunk large files and move them easily across the internet or from backyard to your front yard. When that BitTorrent program chunked up that tree, it created a set of instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have that set of instructions, Catherine. You can take that set of instructions, and it's very small. It's like a one-page set of instructions, like 10 kilobytes. You can staple that to your mailbox, and all your neighbors can look at that, make a copy of it, take that copy home, put it in their BitTorrent program.
And they get a tree?
it will make a copy of your tree.
Mm.
And it propagates. And so what happens is when you made that little program, that little instruction seat, BitTorrent basically gave it a unique name. So however many thousands of BitTorrent trees there are out there, each one has a unique name. So like when your neighbor takes the copy of the instructions and goes home and puts in their BitTorrent program,
right,
it yells out into the network, hey, I'm looking for the tree named Bill. Do you have that tree? And that's how they find it. And then you can destroy your trees and it's still on the network because people have copied it now. And the more people that copy it, the easier it is to download, because I can download one bit from you and one bit from your neighbor. Like there's 100 chunks that this tree now exists in. I can download all those different 100 chunks from a lot of different people because BitTorrent knows which chunk is which. So it's just a phenomenally
efficient way. So it lives on in perpetuity. Is what you're saying. Okay. All right. So how does this apply to Meta?
And the last piece of this puzzle you need to understand before we get back to Meta is that there is etiquette within the system. Okay. You're using BitTorrent. The basic etiquette is if you download, say, a gigabyte of data, you need to allow people to download from you at least a gigabyte. So you download a gigabyte, you upload a gigabyte. Minimum etiquette standards.
Okay.
And if you don't do that, if you only download, you eventually get kicked off the network. So you have to upload. And the more you upload, like if you're a good citizen within this network and you let people download 3 gigabytes, 10 gigabytes, 100 gigabytes, a terabyte, whatever, the more you do that, the more the system likes you and you get preferential treatment for downloading stuff.
I see. Okay. So, okay.
So, okay. That was a lot. I'm sorry.
But I know.
You now understand BitTorrent.
I get it. Yeah. Legos. Go.
And honestly, this is used, obviously, for music and movies.
Okay.
Primarily. But I guess it was last year, Facebook got called out for BitTorrenting, I don't know, it was like terabytes worth of books in these shadow libraries so that they could train their AI models, which, you know, people say maybe illegal. Yet to be decided, but it was kind of a shady thing to do. Well, it turns out in order to get enough download credits to download all that data, they were uploading pornography. They would take a pornographic movie that had just come out literally that day, they would put it on BitTorrent, and they would get all this credit so they could download all their crap.
Oh, wow.
It's just stunning to me.
That is stunning.
So it's not just that they're literally a company is letting you download porn, right? You know, they're, quote, stealing that content. It's not like they're making the porn. Actually, I don't know. That's a good question. Were they making the porn? Is this Zuckerberg?
I doubt it. But it's just easier to steal it.
A porn movie comes out that day. They take it and they copy it and they put it up on torrenting. So the creators aren't getting paid for it because you can just go torrent instead. It's shocking. That a public company, or I don't know, is that public? Yes, a public company in the United States, Meta. It's shocking that they would do that. That's unbelievable.
Well, it's unbelievable that they do that and then they take our water. And I mean,
can you imagine if Apple did that? Microsoft?
You don't think they are?
No, of course they're not.
Okay.
They're not sharing porn?
There just doesn't seem to be a guardrail anymore. And these people will go, apparently, as low as they need to get their own self-satisfaction.
Yes, that's pretty much my. That is Facebook. You know, that is the problem with Zuckerberg, is he has no floor with which he cannot go below.
Right. That's horrifying, James. That's really bad.
I mean, when Trump came into office, he basically disbanded the curation staff to you know, so that anything goes on Facebook now. There's nothing to stop it.
Oh, I've been off Facebook.
Nazis run galore, run around like they're crazy.
I still am on Instagram. And I know that's a shameful thing to say, but I guess my algorithm must throw me more into the lefty side of things. So I get a lot of weird content and interesting content. And that's actually how I found out about Project Blue, because it's, you know, in Tucson, because it's been so under the radar.
Okay,
and
but
such
Catherine,
a secretive. Go ahead.
I'm going to derail you for a second and you can get right back on track. So the guys who make Instagram, that's Zuckerberg. That's Facebook.
I know it is.
So are they? Do you think you're seeing Project Blue because they're trying to be good citizens and let you know about all the bad stuff, or are they just trying to make a buck off of you?
Oh, probably the latter.
Oh, of course, no, 100%. If the guy is willing to share porn so he can steal books, sharing porn so he can steal books.
Oh my God.
That's what they were doing. So he can create an AI that can replace the internet and give him sole control over the world. That's his ultimate goal.
I mean, is it, really two people want to run this planet? That just is so silly.
Well, I am the one who should be running this planet. That's like so
Dr. Evil. Yeah, you and me both.
I think I don't know. I don't know if I could allow you to make any decisions.
Oh, I make good decisions when I'm up against it.
I don't know. Would you cancel all research into
mRNA? I saw that.
mRNA vaccines?
Absolutely not. I don't know how aggressive we're going to go.
So Kennedy, Director yeah. Kennedy just did that, which blows my freaking mind.
Blows my freaking mind too.
Canceled all the $500 million worth of research. No more research into this. It's not the only thing we can use a way to make vaccines, but it's one. This is a newer one, and it has some real advantages.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, speaking of AI, I don't know. I was driving yesterday to and fro in this heat. I happen to be listening to NPR. Might as well while you can, okay? And they covered this story, and it really pissed me off, but I found it interesting. Evidently, there was a 2013 film, and I may like slaughter the name here, but it's called Ranjahana. It was re-released. It was about like one of the primary things was like a toxic relationship between a couple. And so I guess the original ending was quite conflicting and people talked about it. And it just, you know, obviously it was a creative endeavor. And so the ending made sense and, you know, left people kind of feeling incomplete. So they decided to re-release this 2013 film and they did, but they did it with a new ending. And the new ending was done without approval of the director or anyone involved in the original film. It was an AI ending, which was a happy ending. And it totally changed the context of the film. It totally changed everything. If the context of the film's first go-round was this toxic relationship, now this new ending, people are saying it seemingly excuses the character's history of toxicity and, you know, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, tacitly acknowledges those behaviors as okay.
Right.
Like it just kind of goes on. The greater thing that I wanted to talk to you about is like in terms of legal ownership, like the people who changed the film freaking own it.
Someone owns the film who isn't necessarily the person who made the film.
Right.
Which is normal. That's studios make films. They own the films. It's, the directors don't own the films. The actors don't own the films.
Exactly.
This is a problem we've had.
They use AI to finish the film.
That's hysterical.
They use AI to finish the film. I thought back about our prior conversations, just probably just from a couple of years ago, when like we were like, oh, like, you know, our artistic freedom, is it going to replace people? They're just like you said with Meta, stealing porn. You know, they're stealing images, they're stealing content, they're stealing blah, blah, blah. Does this translate into some sort of moral authority? It just remodels like the soul of the work. It just takes the work and takes it in a different position.
It's a different work, though. Don't worry about it. You're overthinking it too much. They've taken their work that apparently sounded like it was pretty popular, and they've ruined it.
Right.
It's not just the original work they've ruined. They've ruined their investment, right? Because fewer people are going to want to see it. It's going to die, and no one's going to care about it anymore.
Like quite an uproar, yeah.
If you make a masterwork, that, you know, that thing about the long tail, it stays in the system mm-hmm. for a long time. And, you know, you make $10 a year off of it for 100 years. That's a lot of money.
Right.
Right, it adds up. But if you destroy the work because you ruined it, no one's going to watch it anymore and you're going to lose your value.
Oh, God.
That's the marketplace.
Do you think that creative work, like your work, is like an extension of your identity? Do you see that?
Well,
and if you sold it, like...
It's an expression, not an extension.
Okay, expression. Okay.
An extension would be like trying to make it part of myself. The expression is, it was something I said, it's done, I move on.
Okay. And so if someone took one of your paintings and then spray painted it black and put smiley faces all over it and changed it completely, that's okay? Or I guess it is if they own it.
If they own it, yeah. Now, that wouldn't stop me from smacking them around a little bit. But, you know, I'm not going to ask for a refund or demand that they, you know, do anything. I wouldn't sue them or anything like that. I would just, you know, I would call them out and say you're... Uh-huh. Unless, of course, they made it better, in which case I'd be like, wow, awesome.
Okay. It just really upset me because it feels like nothing is sacred anymore.
Nothing has ever been sacred, Catherine.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're right. Nothing has been sacred. And I just saw this as destruction of not only intellectual property, but like creative expression.
Well, it's not really destruction.
More.
I mean, you still have the original film.
Right.
Which you can probably torrent somewhere because thankfully it's out there on a torrent.
It's out
somewhere.
There forever, right?
Yeah.
So I was overthinking it. I have nothing else to do but overthink these points.
No, it's worth talking about, right?
Yeah.
What does ownership mean? And yes, in our capitalist society, ownership means you get to do whatever you want. What mm-hmm. And generally, of course, that's not 100% true. Like there are restrictions on what you can do with things.
You know, it's just disturbing because if I had known and say I just looked at the original, not the original movie, but I just downloaded the retooled version, I would think that that was the vision.
Of course, and that's exactly what's happened to Star Wars.
Okay, talk about Star Wars again. What happened?
So the original release of Star Wars was hailed as, you know, a huge success, a huge hit. Right. It redefines science fiction. It's a great movie. It's not like a highly intellectual movie. There are certainly more highly intellectual. Like 2001 is a much more interesting movie.
Yes.
But Star Wars is a fun movie. It's a great movie. It redefined action films, and it was a wonderful expression. Unfortunately, George Lucas had his peak when he made Star Wars. And then was on decline since then, creative decline since then.
Okay.
He re-released Star Wars 30 years later, I think it was. The digital, he remastered it. It was great because it looked better, but he added all this crap to it. There's this one scene where you see Los Eisleys, one of the first scenes in the Star Wars movie.
Okay.
And instead of seeing, like, panning across the city, you start to pan across the city, but then literally, like, an elephant walks in front of the camera. This is a digitized elephant that's been added to it, and it's an alien elephant. So you can't actually see the city anymore.
Crazy.
And it's a bunch of crap like that. And the worst offender was in the bar after the original discussion between Han Solo and Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
They decide to rent the Millennium Falcon. They leave, and he's sitting there in the bar, and a bounty hunter comes and finds Han, and he's about to take him in. Han's not down for that, though, so he shoots the guy. And the most hotly contested thing in the Star Wars universe, when Lucas re-releases it, he shows that the bad guy shoots first, which is a huge change in the character tone of who Han Solo is.
Exactly.
In the original film, Han Solo shoots him first.
Right.
In the re-release, he changes that so the bad guy shoots first.
This is very interesting. I remember reading about this. There is a relationship, even though it's very attenuated from the source, between the creator and what they've chosen to, you know, put on film and the viewer, you know, watching it. And there was like an intent. And so there was an intent behind the Han Solo character. And then to have that changed, you know, that really interrupts that relationship. It's like a third party, you know, interrupting that relationship. I find that repulsive. Just the same, you know, it's kind of similar to this.
It's exactly the same.
This Ron and Han, you know, you take the whole thing and it just changes the whole experience. Like, why should someone who's not involved creatively get to change my experience as the end user?
You can't rely on the artist to keep their stuff good.
Okay. Okay, since we're talking about renaming things and reworking works of art or art adjacent, I wanted to just quickly talk about the GOP bill proposing the renaming of the Kennedy Center after President Trump, etc.
Wait. Was that a GOP bill? I thought that was an executive order.
No, it was a GOP bill. There was actually a bill proposed.
Okay.
There was actually a bill proposed. Yeah, no, not an executive order. They're actually discussing this. Like, there's nothing else to discuss on this planet but propping up someone's ego. You know, of course, the Kennedy clan had some things to say about it. Maria Shriver was fuming about it. And John F. Kennedy's grandson, Jack Schlossberg, who I just love, he responded. And I just want to read to you what he wrote about renaming the institution. He posted, "The Trump administration stands for freedom of oppression, not expression. He uses his awesome powers to suppress free expression and instill fear. But this isn't about the arts. Trump is obsessed with being bigger than JFK, with minimizing the many heroes of our past, as if that elevates him. It doesn't. But there's hope. Art lasts forever. And no one can change what JFK and our shared history stands for." I don't know that art lasts forever, but I think our history, you know, I think our history is our history. But I just want to ask you, James, like, can you name one thing that either of them, Trump or his current wife, have actually done for the arts, like any of the Klan for that matter? What have they done except provide grist for the mill of parody?
Well,
I mean, what have they done?
Trump has had many portraits of him painted. He has been fantastic for the AI generators. He's fodder for AI, right?
Uh-huh.
Without him, would we even have AI? Would people even try to be making images? I mean, it's too much effort to try to make an image of Trump where he looks like a cross between himself and Rambo, right? I don't know. I'm sure
God.
You've seen those images.
I've seen them, yes.
That would be way too much work for the untalented MAGA.
Right. And I've seen him playing the piano like he's Elton John. And I mean, just ridiculous. But I mean, really, are they patrons of the arts? I mean, have they really done anything?
Melania, what did she do? Some light porn when she came over here as a quote model?
That's what they're saying. I don't know. I try to not give any of my eyeball cells over to that shit. I don't want to see this. Bigger question I had is why or how are so many in the GOP, these leaders in quotes, so okay with wanting to erase our cultural history?
Catherine, why do you keep asking me the same question over and over
because
again?
It bothers me and I don't get
the
answer.
I know it bothers you, but this is the same. It's the same. They're slugs. They're leeches that just look for power.
I just don't want them to erase our history.
Okay.
Like they paved over the Rose Garden. That broke my heart.
That was illegal, by the way.
Well, can they ever get it back?
Of course they can. I mean, they have to tear up the concrete and, you know, replant the garden, but that's you can do anything you want at the White House.
What a crock of shit.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so that was just kind of my rant for this week. I'm just like, gosh,
that was really depressing. Don't you have anything positive to say? Why should people listen to this podcast if you're just going to complain about Republicans every week?
I know, right? Oh, gosh, I don't know. I have a public service announcement.
Okay.
Don't stick anything in your ear. I have been dealing with the worst fungal infection in my right ear. I don't know if you go to Starbucks. I do constantly.
Of course I don't go to Starbucks. Why do you think I made money?
Anyway, I go to Starbucks probably on the daily. But there's like a little green, it's like a long green thing that sticks in the cup where, you know, so it doesn't spill.
A stirrer? Are you trying to say stirrer?
Well, it's a kind of stirrer / cap. And there's like a little tiny like scoopy thing on the end of it. It just looks like a flat whatever. It probably is more of a stir, but it fits in their little.
Can we just say stir then?
The lid, yeah.
And move
well,
on.
It fits in the lid. It's a stopper, a stir stopper. But my ear itched so bad, I stuck that in my ear because you're not supposed to stick Q-tips in your ear. So I didn't want to do that.
Oh no, of course. I think the idea behind not sticking Q-tips in your ear is not sticking things in your ear.
Well, I stuck that damn thing in my ear and I had the most intense pain. And I've been doctoring with this for almost 2 weeks now.
Okay, Catherine, I've got two things to say about this. One, you're a freaking nurse, right?
Oh, yeah.
How does a nurse? Oh, my God. Also,
because I had a scratch.
I don't give a sh.
Go ahead.
Then you go to the doctor and have them clean it up for you.
Yeah, they did. He vacuumed it twice.
Okay.
Ugh, it's been horrible.
Second thing is, as bad as it is listening to you complain week after week about the Republicans, this is even worse hearing about your ear trauma.
Me?
Because
complain.
Your ear trauma becomes my ear trauma. Because I have to hear, now that went into my ear, my ears are melting off of my head right now.
Oh my God. But it was just a public service announcement, James.
That's not a public service amendment. This is like saying, don't run over your foot with your lawnmower.
Oh, speaking of lawnmowers, I have a couple to sell.
These are things that should go on without being said. You know, you shouldn't have to explain simple things like that.
I felt like I needed to. Anything else you need to add?
I wish I had something to finish off with that was a little bit nicer than that.
Oh, well, should we talk about something happy?
Do you have anything happy to talk about?
I no, not real. Oh, my dogs are happy. I bought them new treats.
I don't want to hear about your damn dogs.
Okay. Well, then,
all right, so
you know.
Here's a piece of advice. My son reads a lot of Wikipedia. He does a lot of studying, but he doesn't read any fiction at all.
Okay.
And it bothers me that he doesn't do that. And I keep telling him he should read. So I finally took my own advice because, you know, social media has been really pissing me off lately. It's just all bad news. And it makes everybody's take is annoying and I'm annoyed by it. So I started reading again.
Good.
And I did the easiest thing I could. I had an old book from the Discworld from Terry Pratchett, and I started rereading, and there were like 30 books in the series. So I started rereading that. I would recommend that you do that. Turn the internet off and just read.
That sounds great. I have the Wicked series, and it's actually very good. I'm going to restart it. I was reading it to my mom. She was enjoying it. And I'm going to restart it. I got probably about a quarter way through. And you're right. And I, you know, with my ear thing, I just didn't want to hear anything. So I did turn off the telly, as it were, and I was in a real funk emotionally and not listening to that constant drone. I must admit, turning the TV off lifted my mood probably more than, you know, an antidepressant would have. So I started kind of working out a little bit and I turned the TV off and I turned on some music. And I'm just doing some stuff around here. And I think you're right. I, you know, we could talk about all this rot that's happening you know, in the world. It is, is, things just seem, it just seems like whatever the, whatever my concept is of good, the energy is behind the opposite of that. And I'm just, it's really wearing me out. Right. It's exhausting.
We have to fight that, but we don't have to fight it 24/7. You know, you can sit down and read a book and take a break.
I do think we still need to keep talking about that on our podcast and putting that out there and, you know, supporting the good fight.
Here's a mini review. Terry Pratchett, The Color of Magic, its first book in the Discworld. And it's like Harry Potter, but it's comical. It's about wizards and people like that, but it's a farce. Uh-huh. It's very British.
I love British humor.
It's a good escape. It is a little mind-bending how much of a universe he's created right out of the gate. Like, in the first few pages, he starts describing this whole universe. And, like, page after page, it feels like he spent 10 years creating the universe before he started writing the book, because he's got all these references, and it's just it's really gets you out of what's going on today, puts you in a different place.
Maybe we should do just, like, a quick chapter-by-chapter review.
No, I don't think that's necessary.
A reread.
No.
I'll read the book.
Just read the book.
Okay.
I don't know if it's your cup of tea, but that's my recommendation. You can make a recommendation next week.
Okay. I read the Harry Potter stuff, and I enjoyed
it. Yeah, I did too. Anyway. I read that to my son. Okay, bye.
Thanks for your time. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.